One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. This is the tale of the time I almost died driving across the country in the state of Kansas with my good friend Mitch. Kansas, the state of excitement. At least that's what it says on this magnet that I found somewhere. And I do believe that might be the state's slogan, the state of excitement. And it certainly was for myself and my good friend Mitch. A while back, the story's crazy, and really it has to do with when we were driving across the country, but really when we were driving across the state of Kansas, it was just insane. But let me back it up a bit. Let me back it up and give you some lead-in, a little bit of lead-in information. Now, I had just moved to Boise, Idaho. I was only living in Boise, I believe, a couple of years. Maybe not even that. And my friend Mitch was living in Portland, Oregon. Now, we grew up in Indiana, but we ended up coming out west. And I had actually just recovered from breaking my right collarbone. Now, this is an interesting story unto itself, because without the collarbone, it's hard to lift anything, and for a very short amount of time, this one-handed guy did not have access to both hands. There was not much I could do, and that was a very difficult six-week period. But nonetheless, I had a broken collarbone, I lost my job, and I was just hanging out in Boise, Idaho. I didn't have much to do. I wasn't quite sure which direction I was going. But here I was. And then one day, my good friend Mitch, my good childhood friend, he's mostly deep friends with my younger brother, but we all went to college together. We ran around South Bend, Indiana, growing up near Ardmore and Hollywood together. And we have just known each other pretty much our entire lives. He used to come over for dinner so much, we eventually set a plate at the table for him. But he called me up. He's like, hey, Andro. I used to go by Andro. My name's Alejandro, but my good friends, they call me Dro. He said, hey, Andro, I'm driving across country from Portland, Oregon, back to South Bend, Indiana, and I was wondering if, well, you'd like to drive with me. I know you don't have a job right now, and, well, I could use a hand. Yeah, it's hard to turn that down. And he's like, look, I'm just moving back. I'm hauling everything in a U-Haul and I'm pulling my car. So I want to come through Boise. We can hang out. And, you know, why don't you come back? Why don't you come back to Indiana with me and then fly back? We could split the driving. Now, up front, it sounds like a great idea. I didn't have a lot going on. I had a little bit of cash and a lot of time, and I wasn't ready to look for another job. So I figured, why not? I told Mitch, let's do it. Come on into Boise, Idaho. Let's hang out for a couple days, kick it here, and then let's start driving all the way back to Indiana. Now, seems like a good idea. And just so you know, at the end of this story, I'm going to be seeing my good friend Mitch because he's moved back out to Oregon. He's now in Corvallis, Oregon. I'm in Boise, Idaho. We're going out there for the holidays, and I'm going to interview him about this very special, amazingly traumatic, near-death driving experience. And so it is. I tell Mitch to come through Boise. He sets the date. The next thing you know, Mitch is pulling up to my house. He's got a very large U-Haul, and he's pulling his car. I think at that time it was a Volkswagen something. I'll remember what it, a Volkswagen Jetta, some kind of black Jetta. And then he's like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, dude, aren't we going to hang out? And he said, well, actually, no, I got to go. I'm trying to get back to Indiana before this party. Apparently his girlfriend was having a party. Now, I should have known right off the bat that things weren't going to go well, because he wanted to get from Boise Idaho to South Bend, Indiana in two and a half days. I mean, we pretty much had to drive the whole way. And I thought, I said, hey, Mitch, man, I thought we were going to get some hang time. I thought we were going to take some time. This is like a road trip, man, but this is more like long haul trucking here. You just want to drive all the way through, like pretty much nonstop for 2 days. 3 days. He's, oh, yeah, yeah, because I got to get back before this party, before my girlfriend's party. And I should have known. I should have known. But I had nothing else to do. Why not drive across the country? I just got done having a broken collarbone. My arm was starting to feel better. And as I mentioned, I wasn't ready to look for a job. And I thought, I don't even know if I want to live in Boise, Idaho anymore. So I was like, well, okay, I guess let me get some stuff together and we'll start driving. You know, I told my friend, my roommate at the time, that I was leaving. I paid my rent, you know, left him some extra cash. And the next thing you know, we're out the door. And then we just start driving. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't remember too much of the beginning of the drive. And I'm pretty sure Mitch had his cat Kiki, and he almost squeezed his cat to death, showing it so much love. He's like, oh, I love Kiki. He was squeezing it. Now, let me tell you, Mitch is a big guy. I mean, he's like 6'4". We used to call him the Lummox, Mitchology, Mitchnificant. But he was squeezing little baby Kiki, his little cat, his little kitten. He was squeezing in his arms. He's like, oh, Kiki, I love you. I love you. And then Kiki couldn't even talk. This cat couldn't even talk. It had no air. And I just remember its eyes were getting ready to bulge out of its head. And I was like, Mitch, you're going to kill your cat. We're driving across the country with a cat. Mitch has got his whole empire in the back of U-Haul, and he's pulling his Volkswagen Jetta. At least that's the car I think it is. Now, everything seemed to be okay, other than the fact that we're already late driving across the country. Now, just as a little bit of advice, you don't want to be late on a 2.5 day drive. I mean, the whole time is just intensity, at least in his world, because he's like, oh, I got to get there. I got to get there. I got to get there. We're just driving and driving and driving and driving, not taking a lot of breaks, just driving and driving and driving and driving. Insane. But I'll tell you, for whatever reason, we decided to drive through Kansas. Now, I can't remember what time of the year it was, but I just remember it was really cold and it was snowing and we were in Kansas. Now, there was this moment when we were driving. I don't mean to laugh. We were driving, you know, we pulled in. We pulled in somewhere to get some food. And Mitch's car unhooked from the back of the U-Haul as we were taking this turn. And he looked up and he thought it was some crazy driver, like getting really close to his car. And then he's like, oh no. He's like, oh beep. Said a cuss word. He's like, oh no, that's my car. As we watched his Jetta drive right by us and slam into this snowbank. Oh, it was just... I just remember Mitch screaming, no, no. Oh, it was too much. We were struggling. We were in our early 20s, 25, 27, something like that. Just trying to get through life, you know, just trying to get rooted, man. Just trying to get started. In a real way, we just trying to get our feet wet. And Mitch was having a little transition time. You know, he thought maybe I should go back to Indiana. So, yeah, we had to go get his car, pull it back, jack it back up, and then start driving. And then the longer we drove through Kansas, the worse this snowstorm got. And then the next thing you know, there's like a major winter storm going on. There's storm warnings on the radio, and we are driving. I can't even see anymore. We're almost at night. It is snowing so incredibly bad, and we are on this highway. I mean, it's just total flatland. I mean, it is just starting to get a little unstable. And I'm telling Mitch, we need to pull over, man. We should stop. We need to get a hotel. We need to pull over. And he's like, no, we got to drive through this. We got to get through this. I got to get to Indiana. And I'm like, Mitch, give it up. We need to stay alive. And he's like, no, I'll drive. I'll drive. You know, and there were times, like, it got so bad. There were times semis would pass us in this snowstorm, and it was almost a whiteout anyway. But they would pass us doing an incredibly large amount of speed because they had so much weight. And it was just a whiteout. I mean, for 7 seconds, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see their lights. I couldn't see the road. If the road turned, we'd have died, period. And I just thought to myself, this is it. This is it. I don't know if we're going to make it through this. And Mitch, he's just driving and driving and driving. There was one moment I looked up and I could see the back. I could see all the lights of the cars on this kind of straightaway. And then I just remember looking up and all the lights seemed to be in a straight line like cars on a road should be. And then all of a sudden, they all just started spinning out. And I thought, oh yeah, this is it. There were cars on the side of the road. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. And it was late and we were driving. And sometimes it's about trust. You just got to trust that everything is going to be okay. And I am so exhausted. We've been driving for so long. But I got to trust. So I went to bed. How I fell asleep, I don't know. I was just so tired. And I'm sleeping in the front of this U-Haul. And I woke up to my friend Mitch screaming my name. Now, he was just like, Andro! It was just, I awoke in utter fear. And I just opened my eyes and I look over at Mitch and he's just screaming. He looks so terrified. And I kind of gather my senses and I realize we are just fishtailing a full 180 degrees. We have no control. Mitch has no control over the vehicle. I mean, absolutely none. And he's pulling his car. I'm sorry. His car took so many hits. And it's funny too, because we fishtailed to the left, which means his car is now off the road and it is knocking down the pylons on the side of the road. They're not pylons, they're just road markers. And you know, as we fishtail around, his car is just knocking them down. Bum, 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 bum. And Mitch is screaming again, no. And then we fishtail the other way. We almost hit this car and then we fishtail back, knocking down these pylons. And it's so funny because it's not really funny, but it is in retrospect because we lived. As we fishtail back to the left, the second time his car is knocking down all these pylons, we're actually moving, sliding perpendicular to the road, which means now we're facing the people that are fishtailing in the other direction on the highway. I mean, the road was a sheet of ice. It was so bad. The conditions were just horrific driving conditions. And these guys were looking straight at us. We are facing each other, sliding down the road, perpendicular to the road. For this one moment, we're just looking at each other and all four of us are screaming. And just maybe for like, I don't know, it seemed like a second or 2 seconds, actually seemed like eternity. And they fishtailed out and they kept going and we fishtailed back. We're just fishtailing back and forth. And Mitch is just freaking out on the wheel. And it must have been my deep martial art training, because when, you know, a good martial artist is going to relax in a very dangerous moment. And I just, there's not much I can do. There's not much I can, I'm not going to grab the wheel. So I just take my short side and I touch Mitch's shoulder and I was like, Mitch, just breathe, relax, bring it down, just breathe, relax. And he went like this. Let me back up from the mic. He's like, yeah, And the whole time I'm just trying to bring him down. I'm like, just relax, bring it down. And as he's relaxing his grip, his breath, his presence, the vehicle actually starts to straighten out. and I was amazed. And then we're just driving straight on the road again. And I thought, oh, okay, I guess I'm going back to bed, considering we just almost died. Right? Or, you know, at worst case, just run off the road. We could have turned over. I mean, who knows what? But now everything seems to be, well, somewhat okay. I think it's time to go back to sleep. I don't know how much more time went by. I don't know how much more time went by. But I awoke again to Mitch screaming my name. And we are totally out of control. I mean, I can't even see the road anymore. And all the lights in front of me are spinning too. There's cars all over the side of the road. How we didn't fishtail and knock another car, I don't know. And there are other U-Hauls on the side of the road. I mean, there were more cars that slid off the road than on the road at this time. And again, Mitch is screaming my name with utter fear at the top of his lungs. I woke up again twice in just a fear-stricken state because I think, oh, now we're for sure going to die. He's screaming my name, and I think, well, okay, I've been here before. So let's just do it again. I just lean over. I touch his shoulder. I actually brought my other hand up and touched his forearm. I'm giving him the whole energy treatment. I'm like, okay, just breathe. Just relax. Bring it down. Just relax. Cool. Just don't worry. Don't freak out. Don't make a sudden movement. Just relax. And again, everything started to straighten out. And at this time, I was like, you know what, Mitch? I'm driving. And he was just so grateful. Oh, thank you. Thank you. We got to get to Indiana. Mitch, shut up. He gets in the passenger side. I start driving. And before I know it, this brother has fallen asleep. It's got to be 2 a.m. I have no idea what's going on. I'm listening to the radio. There is a statewide emergency situation because of this winter ice storm that came through. I mean, there are cars everywhere on the road. I don't know how we made it through. You know, Mitch is going to tell you it's the grace of God. I'm Buddhist. I'm going to tell you we got some really good karma. Doesn't matter. We both made it. Okay. Now, as I'm driving solo, Mitch is asleep. Solo awake person. It is in the middle of the night, semis are passing me again at very high rates of speed, and I counted 7 seconds of absolute whiteout. I cannot see a thing. If the road turned, we'd have died. And I'll tell you, there were times the road did turn. I was scared to have a semi pass me. But there were times when there weren't that many semis, and I'm driving pretty slow. I'm probably doing 25, 30 miles an hour. Why we kept going, I don't know. But there was no place to stop. I mean, I don't know that much about Kansas, but there's a lot of nothing out there. There's a lot of nothing in Idaho sometimes, but I couldn't see a thing. There's whiteouts. There's cars passing me by. There's cars all over the road. And I'll tell you, this one time, I was turning this corner to the left. It wasn't a sharp corner. It was an arcing backcountry corner. And I just remember looking to the right on the side of the road, and there was an RV that had tipped over and was completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. It looked like a deck of cards sprawled out across the landscape. And I took one look at that, and I saw how devastated that vehicle was, how destroyed it was, and how spread out it was. And I knew that somebody in that car died. That's what I felt. I just looked over and I saw that and I thought, oh yeah, someone died. They're dead. There's no way people can survive that. And at that moment, I realized it is time to get off the road. I don't even know how long I drove for. It was an incredibly long time. I don't like driving, but sometimes I can power through. And in a future podcast, I'll tell you about going to see the Grateful Dead, driving from Seattle to Vegas, and then driving back from Vegas to Seattle. In 1993 in Vegas, that Dead show was unbelievable. But this time, I drove most of the night. And, you know, we're only doing 25, 30 miles an hour. But I knew I had to stop. And finally, there was a restaurant in the middle of nowhere. This is a classic horror story movie scene. But at that moment, it was an oasis, and there were a lot of cars pulled over. And when I, you know, when I stopped, Mitch is like, oh, are we in Indiana? And I'm like, no, Mitch, we're still in Kansas. And he looked at his watch, and he's like, it's been 8 hours. I know, but we were moving so we were moving so slow. Yeah, and I pulled over and I was like, you know what? We are spending the night here. I told him that story about that RV deck of card death scenario scene that I saw. And I'd seen enough cars off the road and turned over. And I said, Mitch, we are going to spend the night here. We are going to sleep here. And there were a lot of people sleeping in their cars out. And the proprietors of this restaurant, they were closed, but they said, you guys can spend the night here. We're staying here. We just want to give you guys a safe place to stay until this storm passes and we'll see what tomorrow brings. And it was so funny because Mitch is like, well, where are we going to sleep? And I'm like, well, we're going to sleep in the car. You know, we're going to sleep in the U-Haul. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And he's like, we're going to freeze to death. He was so scared we were going to freeze to death. And he's like, oh, we got to go back with all our stuff. And I got to get some sheets. And he made this nest, and him and Kiki, we were trying to sleep. And he's like, Andro, Drodro, hey man, you got to come over, man. We got to cuddle because we're going to freeze to death, man. We got to sleep together. And then the scenario's like we're a pack of wolves, but we can't be wolves because we got a little kitten with a little Kiki. Yeah, Mitch and I, we got close that night. You know, in the back of my head, I know we're not going to freeze to death. Now, mind you, it is cold, but it's not that cold. And we weren't prepared for this, but yeah, lo and behold, what do? We cuddle all night. We sleep together. Mitch, me, and little Kiki. And the next day we got up, amazed we got through the night. I mean, it was just, we almost died 3 times. Easy. Well, those 2 times we were fishtailing, Mitch is screaming my name for sure. And then all the other, I mean, at any moment the road could have turned and we could have died. I'm just giving one more potential death scenario. I mean, it was the most terrifying drive of my entire life. It just was astounding. And then had to sleep with Mitch in the freezing cold with little Kiki in the back of his U-Haul in the middle of nowhere. Astounding. That was the time we almost died. And then I don't even remember the rest of the drive. I just remember showing up in Indiana and Mitch is kind of pissed that he didn't make it to the party. And his girlfriend kind of was too, but I was like, man, we almost died trying to cross the state of Kansas, you know? I was just like, you know what? I'm going back to Idaho. And somewhere along the line, I don't know where I found the magnet that says Kansas, the state of excitement. I saw that and I for sure had to buy it. And that's the graphic that I'm using for this podcast, you know, this story of the time I almost died in Kansas with my good friend Mitch. And then I'm about to do this interview with Mitch, and we're getting ready to drive to Corvallis tomorrow. It's like an 8-hour drive to get to Corvallis, Oregon from Boise, Idaho. And I'm going to interview Mitch, and we're going to talk about this experience. Just do a short little interview because, you know, Mitch ended up becoming a preacher. And one of the pivotal moments is he went to this evangelical seminar, this preacher seminar, and the preacher is getting everybody together, you know, bringing the power, bringing the moment, you know, bringing the Holy Spirit. And he's like, I need you to think about a time you almost died. And Mitch is telling me this story. And he's like, man, I thought about that time in Kansas. Yeah, we came close to dying that time, but we didn't. And as traumatic of an experience that was, as just absolutely terrifying experience as that was, it sure does make a good story. C- Cool, cool, cool. Okay, here I am, Alejandro Anastasio and...
Mitch Wheeler, a.k.a. Mitchy Mitch.
Mitchy Mitch. Yes, here we are. This is the man that was in my story, and I'm... Yeah, we almost died together.
Very close. Very close.
Very close. And here we are, maybe two decades later, spending the holidays together.
Yeah. And, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
That's right.
To all.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And I just wanted to do a quick interview with Mitch because I actually had the opportunity and I was telling this story. And I figure, why not have a little live interview with the man himself? The man himself. Now, Mitch, how long have we known each other?
Let's see. I think the first time we met would have been 1981.
And right now it's 2000 and about to be 18.
Yep.
So we've known each other for a long, long time and been in a few crazy places. Yeah.
Just a few situations throughout life and those years.
And this one is pivotal. I remember when I bought the magnet that said, Kansas, a state of excitement. And I was like, oh, no, that's... I wish I had two to send one to Mitch.
It's... Yeah, of all places you would think, Kansas. Oh, you know, flat, you know, not many people, sparse, and yet still... We had one of the adventures of life in that place.
Yeah, yeah, and I, as I mentioned, I don't remember that much from the entire trip. I remember getting picked up and then getting to Bloomington, Indiana. And then I just pretty much remember the whole terrifying experience of Kansas.
Yeah, it was, the story goes in a nutshell. I was in Portland, Oregon, and my time had come to an end. And I was going all the way back across the country to Bloomington. And I was thinking, who's the stand-up guy? Who can I call upon in this situation to just rise to the occasion? And who would that be? Alejandro.
Yeah.
My man.
I get the call from Mitch. And as I mentioned, I was in a hard spot at that time myself. I had just broken my collarbone, lost my job,
right.
Had very little money. That's right. Didn't know where I was going. I figured this is the best time.
Perfect timing.
Perfect time to drive across the country.
Yep. So I give Andre a call and I say, okay, this is a little bit of a stretch. I'm going back to Indiana, and that's where we were both born and raised. And I was like, I was wondering if you just would like to go in like, let's say about 7 to 10 days. And he said, I think I can do this.
I think I can. You know? Yeah, that's right.
I was like, go ahead and sleep on it and get back to me. And the next day I get a call and he's like, you know, what day are we leaving?
Yep, let's do it. And the next thing I know, about 5-8 days later, Mitch is pulling up to my house with the U-Haul and the Jetta.
The Jetta.
The Volkswagen, yes. And then we got in the car and we started to drive. And everything was going smooth until we got to Kansas.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I just want to reiterate the fact that we were on a timeline to get back to Indiana for the party.
True that.
True that.
Yep.
So, as I mentioned, you never want to be... taking a 3-day road trip and being on a timetable.
No.
So yeah, we were running pretty tight, and then we got to Kansas and everything changed. What do you think about that Kansas experience, Mitch?
The crazy thing is it's not like now. That was 97. So internet wasn't big. Smartphones didn't exist. You couldn't go look at the media that we have now. You couldn't see if there's tons of snow, which streets to take, which highways to go through. So basically, we knew it could be shaky, but we never thought it was going to be like it was. When we finally got into the heat of it, when you know you're coming across a big issue, you're coming across a problem when you see SUVs and then stuff that looks like monster trucks on the side of the road and they're outside scratching their head and we're driving in a U-Haul with a car on the back on a trailer.
Yeah, there's other U-Hauls with cars on the side of the road. People turned over. There was one time I looked up at all the lights behind in front of us and they all looked like they were going straight, and then in one moment like 18 of them just spun out of control.
It's true. It did happen. God bless them. It's we made it through. We did pretty good until we hit a spot where actually the police had stopped everybody because it was just so dangerous, and they said, you know, pretty much you can't go any further or get off this exit. And that exit, I don't think, had anything. So we pulled over to the side in a parking lot somewhere and had the car running, the truck running as long as we could and keeping it warm. And finally, we got to the point. It was probably, I don't know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh, well, you know, we got to get some sleep eventually. So we turned off the truck so it wouldn't have fumes and everything. And got back in the back of the truck and had some little beds set up and everything. And I actually...
More like a nest.
It was, especially when we were done. It definitely looked like a nest. There was... we actually started covering ourselves with clothes. And then I brought my cat back and she became... the intermittent heat system for us.
Kiki.
The Kiekmeister. God bless her soul. Moment of silence. Yeah. All 20 years of her and all. And yeah, it was a moment where, you know, two men have to come to a conclusion in life. You know, it's we're strong. We're strong in who we are. We know who we are. We've known each other for a while. But there was a point where, you know, we might have got a little bit closer than usual.
There was some spooning involved. Yeah,
it was a little cold.
Heat.
It was an exchange of heat. Yeah. I'll tell you what, if that didn't happen, we would not be here with these mics in our hands speaking to you today.
All right. I know. What an experience. Yeah. And a precious experience because I always refer to it. But what do you think about that time we spun out of control and that those people were looking at us as we were just...
It still to this day, it's embedded in my brain, in my mind and memory.
Just that look. Ah!
The worst thing that can happen is, well, we should have took the advice of all the scared, terrified people on the side of the road that, hey, you know what? This pull can over. Happen to you. Pull over. But we're just creeping about 25, 30 miles per hour, just trying to keep going forward.
Yeah, we had that party to get to.
That's right. Word. We ain't missing no party now. We Westsiders. And, so we're going along and all of a sudden it starts, you know, we start waving a little left, a little bit too much to the right. And all of a sudden, Dro and I both, it's one of those things where it's the unspoken thing. And we both start getting nervous and we could feel the sway. And all of a sudden the back of the trailer starts moving. The car starts sliding farther and farther. By the time, within seconds, we're whipped around.
Totally out of control.
Perpendicular. Car. Off the road on a trailer, our rental truck, we're literally looking across the barrier over across the oncoming traffic on the highway the other direction. And it's so funny that when we actually hit that perfect perpendicular spot, the people that were passing us going the opposite direction was an older couple, and they were going, ah! And their fingers were out and they were pointing at us and we were going, ah! It was literally like a mirror effect. I never have lived a movie situation quite like that. It is exactly like you would see in a comedy.
Yeah, it was terrifying. We can only laugh at it looking at it in the past.
That's
but,
it.
I know. But in the moment, yeah, it was just an unbelievable experience. Unbelievable experience.
Yeah.
But we got through it.
Most
we did
definitely.
Some spooning.
Yep.
And as you can see, Mitch and I are still together. We still together.
Yeah,
man.
Baby.
Still,
yeah,
that's
baby.
Right. That's right. Still good friends. Here we are, celebrating our time, our holidays together. Our
Amen.
Family. My family, his family.
Life is good.
Life is good. And it's still going. So I just wanted to ask you about that moment in the past when you were at that seminar.
Seminar.
The evangelical seminar. When the preacher was like, oh, I need you to think about a moment.
Oh,
think about a moment when you almost died.
Yeah.
Because you called me up about that later. We were talking about it.
It was one of those moments. We were going into, we were talking about stuff, and I think it was, I think he was trying to help me get past some things in life. And we were talking, and he was like, you know, was there any times where, you know, it seemed like you faced death, and, you know, it may be a part of who you are now, and it may be straining on your internal wares. And I was like, well, you know, life, take it. Yes, I do. I said there was a time in Kansas. I was with a good friend of mine. And yes, it was very close many times. Yeah, it was literally to the point where we would, when we'd be at the hotel, we finally got a hotel and I shook. literally my hands and my voice was shaking for probably an hour until I calmed down because it was so nerve-wracking driving in then.
Yeah, no, that was an experience no one needs to have.
No. Yeah. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody.
Just that ice storm came out of nowhere and just took us all down. I mean, it was just, I'm to this day still baffled at how strong it came on, how long it lasted, and then the next day everything's kind of seemed to be okay. I don't remember there being that much ice. And
No. And it was in Kansas.
Of all places.
Yeah, you would have thought we would have hit it in the mountains somewhere in Oregon or Washington or somewhere in there. But no, it was.
It seemed like. I think I remember thinking like, oh, we'll save some time going through Kansas.
It really wasn't the case.
And then I remember like the last time before we pulled into that place, I was driving. Then Mitch woke up. He's like, are we almost there yet? I'm like, no, we still in Kansas. He was like, what? It's been 8 hours. I'm like, I know we're doing like 24 miles an hour.
Yeah, we crept. I don't know how we got there on time, but we crept. No, it was a moment like he said before. It's a moment that you look back on, and it's an extremely funny story, and we'll always have that. That's one of our deepest bonding moments, and we've had a lot of them.
Yes,
and that is by far the deepest one.
And it's a special thing to have because it's rare in life that you can actually have a friend that you grew up with down the street and go
literally
to middle school, grade school, high school, and college together, and then just know each other for 20 years after that. Now I have the absolute pleasure of seeing Mitch with his wife and child.
I reproduce. It's amazing. God has mercy on everybody. Every dog has his day.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just really, life is just special soup. And to be able to sit at the table with a good friend for a lifetime, I don't have too many of them. So it's just a small handful. And this is one of my dear, dear long-term life friends who I know I'll know for this whole time around. Mitchy Mitch.
Amen. That is
that's
a fact.
Right. That's right. Okay. You got any last parting words there?
Just be careful if you're ever passing through Kansas in December or January. Just,
when was that? When did we go? Was it in that time frame?
I think it was 98.
Yeah.
I think it was spring. I think it might have been February.
Just weird. Yeah. Okay, well, just wise words from the Mitchologist here. Be careful. Okay, and with that, I'm going to sign out. This is Alejandro Anastasio with One Hand Speaks and my very special guest,
Mitchy Mitch Wheeler.
All right. Bye now.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.